Hey, I'm Loredana.
And I'm Christina.
And welcome to Spirit Says.
Yes, do that, please.
It's recording.
Look at us. Okay. Hello, everyone. No, we're staying here. We're staying right here, girl. This is it. This is you being your true self, which is also
nobody wants to hear my true self. Hey, everybody.
One of the Niyamas. Yes. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to our podcast, to our channel.
Yes,
I hope that you guys have been enjoying everything. I know I have. How about you? Have you been enjoying?
I thought this was a romper room moment. Have you been enjoying, Christina? How about you, Lisa?
Well, at least you had your name called. You know, I never had my name called. That wasn't called. My mother called it several times, but no, it was never in romper room.
That's the only way I know how to say your name in your full name in pronunciation is just by saying it the way your mom would call you.
Right. That's when you knew. You were like, yep, that's my mom. That's my friend's mom. Yep, there she is.
But you know,
oh my gosh, she still does it.
Really? I mean, I love it. So cute. But Loredana. That's how you really say it.
Yes, that is how you say it in English without the accent. Right, exactly.
In New York.
Oh my God. Been butchered so much.
Oh my God.
Yes. So.
Wait, before we go on, can we just, you just mentioned how your name has been butchered. Can we just say, like, do you have a memory of the worst thing that somebody's butchered your name?
Not really. I mean, it's just like I always think it's easy, but I forget that when you drop a D-A-N-A from my name and you only do L-O-R-E, it's for me, it's just Laura. But like people have dropped the E and called me like Loredana or Loredana or but like a real butchering, not really. No, it's just like
Loredana. I remember
Loredana.
People, teachers accidentally calling that. And I'm like, ooh, I don't know. Do we have English together? I feel like Mr. McCallan used to call you Loredana.
Mr. McCallan. No, it was just weird. It was what it was. And that's why long time, it was just Lori, you know?
Yeah.
And then I came to appreciate my name much, much, much later on in my life.
Nice.
You know?
Well, it is a beautiful name. I love it.
Thank you.
Oh, we are.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Go for it, Lori.
we are at the Niyamas, which are the other five. What are they? Five.
Oh, so they're observances. So
they are five parts of the eight limbs, right? Yes. The five parts. Okay.
So with the eight limbs of yoga, you have the yamas and then the niyamas.
Mm-hmm.
And so the yamas are things that are, I guess we take away what was that called
restraints
we restrain from doing,
right?
And then the niyamas are things that we try to integrate into our life. So observing, not in the way of visualizing. Well, yeah, you can visualize, you have to visualize in order for things to happen, but
like in the way of practicing
observing, right? Yeah. Like we observe a national holiday or whatever. This is what you're observing, these practices into your life to help you have a happier life that is just decluttered, kind of.
Right.
I always think of decluttering because I think that's what we do a lot of the time. And that's what we're kind of fighting, is just decluttering the mind and this is a perfect example, decluttering. We're actually talking about the first niyama, which is actually saucha, which has to do with cleanliness. And also they talk about purity, but purity more so in the way of cleanliness. You know, I think we think of purity, we think of like, she's a pure virgin that can tame a unicorn. So I just want to make sure that's clear. We're talking more about just having cleanliness for yourself, pure thinking, not like obstructive kind of destructive. I'm sorry. Destructive kind of thinking.
Yeah. 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 It's like releasing your, like you said, releasing the clutter in your mind, body, and spirit and the toxins. It's like an, in, it's like an internal cleanse. So mm-hmm. when you say cleanse, it's not like showering, which you should be doing anyway, but it's more
actually,
like
actually could be showering too. Internal. No? It does talk, I think about, well, I mean, when I was researching it, it does talk kind of all about all realms of cleanliness, not just okay. the physical aspect. But of course, we're coming from two different ways of researching and also two different perspectives. So
right.
something that really speaks right. to you may, you might ignore some of the other stuff. And same with me, like I might be like,
very true.
You know, so everything that we're saying right here is our perspective too. You know, if you take the time yes, to kind right. of observe everything, if you take the time to read about the yamas and the niyamas, and it's so cool because some of my students have actually bought books on their own with like, I don't
know. Oh, okay.
Them. It's so funny because I have two students at least that have been like, I just bought this book on the yamas and niyamas. And I'm like, wow, that's really cool. And I felt like one of them, I should have been like, follow my podcast, even though she knows about the podcast. She knows, but right. one of them actually does follow the podcast. And we've been talking about the yamas and niyamas before our podcast started. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, just a reminder when we're talking here that these are from our, like we read, we research, but it's all of our own perspective. Our,
right.
You're going to have possibly a different perspective. And that's beautiful.
yeah no it is, it is beautiful. And I what I find beautiful too is like the, you know, when you first work, when you first work, when you first see like a book, like I'm looking at my book, the title is The Yamas and Niyamas, right? So you look at the words and you're like, you unfortunately do judge a book by its cover, but like you think to yourself, well, maybe that's not for me because I don't even know what the words mean. But mm-hmm. as you start to read what the actual translations are, and like we said before, the restraints and the observances, you realize it's actually for everyone. This is literally made for everyone.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't like, we shouldn't reject it just because we don't understand what the words mean. You
well,
know
I
what
think
I mean?
That's the because, sad part yeah. about things, about when it comes to people not wanting to start things because they don't understand what the words mean, or, you know, it doesn't, it's not used in everyday life. So they're like, oh, that's yeah, not for me.
Yes,
and
right.
then, I mean, I guess what right. you can say is that people come to their path when, you know, to whatever path when they're ready. But,
right.
you know, like for instance, this is going to sound so stupid, but I'm talking about, like, I felt like when I was doing my short stint with rollerblading, I'm not rollerblading, roller derby, right. that I was like, why haven't I started this years ago? If I started this years ago, then I would have been doing it longer, but it wasn't like any, like it wasn't popping out at me, you know, it wasn't like a normal thing.
Yeah.
I ever did.
Yeah. Right.
So it's, I mean, just a really basic, make it really basic, you know. I think that's why all the kind of like whitewashing happens with yoga mm-hmm. is because like people want to just kind of like make it more understandable so that people will come to it, and then later on insert all the beautiful cultural aspects of yoga right. So I think, you know, there's a bit of confusion there because I think sometimes they're not saying like, you know, that you should,
well, they work. Leave out, yeah, they leave out so many things.
Yeah.
You know, they leave out the culture, they leave out the roots, they leave yeah. out, you know, things like yamas and niyamas, because they think you know, speaking about whitewashing, they just you know, it's like going to a different country, traveling to a different country and inserting yourself in their traditions and stuff. Like not many of us, you know, there's many that will do it and have an easy time. And then there's many that just will never, ever do it because it's just so foreign for them.
Yeah.
That they'd
it's
rather,
like, you have to speak my language. Think. Otherwise I don't.
Yeah.
Understand
right.
You.
They just feel like it hasn't, like it doesn't belong to them. But I mean, like we said, you know, the yamas belong to everyone, you know. Mm-hmm. A review is like non-violence, truthfulness, non-stealing, non-excess, and non-possessiveness. That's really mm-hmm. the translation of the yamas. So that belongs to everyone. And then even today's niyama, these are just observances. And mm-hmm. like, we all observe things, right? We all have morals that we stand by, all have things that we believe in.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just where,
yeah,
I think we're just trying, I think the point of us talking about these is to have people understand that they can tap into things without being so afraid of them, you know, because it does relate to them. It will yeah. relate to them. It will make life easier, you know?
Yeah. So, and I think it's really important.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's important yeah. to talk about yeah. these things yeah. because if you don't talk about these things and people think they don't exist unless they really decide, you know, out of their busy lives that they're going to go into a library or wherever they can or travel to do some research. But really, if you, you know, we have the eight limbs of yoga, and one of those things that one of the facts is that the yamas and the niyamas come before asana, which asana is yoga practice, the physical postures, mm-hmm. not yoga practice, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, physical postures of yoga. So right. if you just go to your class and you just do the poses, then you go home, but you haven't practiced the yamas and the niyamas, you're not going to actually get the full effect
Yes,
of
effect.
Your mm-hmm. class, you know, like, because you're going to go into that right. classroom, you're not going to have what's called, you know, saucha, cleanliness. You're not going to be thinking about that. And you're going to be going on the mat putting dirty things in your head, like how bad you are,
yeah.
how, all this negative thinking. And so, you know, I just want to make sure that's clear as to why, like, these things are important. Of course, you know, my spirituality has a lot to do with yoga, but also like
mm-hmm.
yoga is not a religion. So you integrate your own.
That was just literally on my head right now. Like yeah. yoga is not a religion. Yeah. So I think that if we take that word religion out of yoga and at all costs, then I think it'll be easier for people to come yeah. to understand things like the yamas and the niyamas.
Yeah,
you know?
It's a science, actually.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
okay,
right,
so let's
right,
talk about
right.
saucha.
Let's do that. Let's talk about saucha. So yes, you said, like you said, it was purifying, you know, having less clutter and feeling less heavy, you know? I mean, I think mm-hmm. we all have that, right? We all have
yeah.
so many thoughts that swirl
so
our heads
doing
all day long.
Things to remove yes. that, right? So mm-hmm. cleaning right. yourself, like how would you, you know, approach
right
adding saucha into your life? And it's so funny because mm-hmm. late, like I was telling Lori, I feel that I'm behind on my research with saucha, but I've actually been living my research recently because, like, for instance, it's really hard for me to function unless I'm in a clean space. I'm just to talk about cleaning mm-hmm. your place, you know, but like if I see clutter everywhere, I'm thinking about how that clutter needs to be uncluttered. I need
yes.
to, so I've been cleaning a lot lately. I've been cleaning and I've been looking at other people's piles in my place, and I'm like, this pile of old stuff needs to be thrown out.
Yeah.
We're not using yeah. it anymore.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, because you know, I mean, when we do that, we release ourselves from distractions and like scatterbrain. Like, you know, do you ever mm-hmm. like I know that if I don't come to my mat, for instance,
mm-hmm.
With a clear mind, I'm not then in the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm not living the pure moment that I should be living in, you know? And I think that that's what saucha wants you to do. I think it wants you to, unclutter your mind so that you can be present in yeah. the only thing we have, which is that very moment, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's part yeah. of the thing too, is for me, it's not just, if I feel like there's something that's a mess, it's also that I feel like something needs to be done in order for me to yes. get that off of my head, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
yeah.
one, if you are practicing like that kind of thing, oh, sorry, Lori, go ahead.
Go. If you are practicing that thing. Yeah.
So just to slip into how you can actually create not just, the cleaning up spaces in your,
like the actual
apartment.
Act of cleaning up, right?
Yeah. Not just mm-hmm. that, but also to create spaces that feel spiritual to you, is you can create mantles in your place, like, and not just in as just far as putting, like, you know, whatever your religious belief is, candles and all that stuff, but like your desk.
Yeah.
You treat it like, I'm creating a mantle for myself. I'm creating a space that looks appealing to me, so that when I sit down, I feel joy and I can get my work done. Or like, even a mantle, right, can even be like the side of your bed, you know, and even your draw on the side of the bed. It's like, what is in there that brings you purity, that brings you like feeling joy and cleanliness,
light.
you know what I'm saying,
you know, like,
absolutely. So you can create those kind of like mantles all over your house, and you can also have one where you sit there and you pray and also meditate. But you can think of cleaning as actually just creating mantles everywhere, even a dining room table.
Like creating a sacred space for yourself. Yeah, totally. So that it's just your space, you know, where it's just yours, and you can. I know another week that I like to declutter, for instance, the things in my brain is like, we've talked about this, is the morning pages, you know, so just like, yes, kind of just, yeah, like spew it all out on there. And then just, you know, afterwards, take a few breaths, and it's just like, okay, that's it. It's all on paper now. I don't need to think about it anymore. It is what it is, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's another way where I can totally feel lighter and pure, you know, just about you know, life in general, you know?
Yeah. Because if you don't get it out, then you might want to get it out, and it, or you might even suppress it, and then it explodes in a negative way.
Right.
No control over it anymore. Or maybe you don't really even want to talk to anybody about it, and that's, you know, why you're getting aggravated, or it just keeps repeating in your mind because you haven't allowed yourself to write it down or even talk to anybody about it. But I don't think that, like, when I say write it down or even talk to anybody, I think there's some people in your life that you could just talk to anybody about it and you feel good. You feel cleansed afterwards. Like, you're that person for me. And then there's other people that you feel like you've actually given them your stuff, and now they're working on it for you, but it's still there.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't just go away.
Right.
It's
very true. I don't know. Yeah. It's because it's all energy, because we are energy. So it's just like, sometimes that stuff, depending on who you talk to, just, you know, I get it. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like, it lingers, you know, instead of just feeling like a way to express and let go, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So you figure out people I can't talk about everything to.
I mean, because there are just some people you can't, because they're just gonna add on to your stress, you know? Instead of like helping you detox your brain a little bit, or help giving you a different perspective on things, they're just gonna like add on and be like, oh my god, that's so, you know, like just add on to the drama, you know what I mean?
That's why morning pages are so great, because honestly, like, I feel like I'm talking to God when I do my morning pages. I'm like, all right, God. And then God just kind of, because when you're not thinking about it, because morning pages, basically you write stream of thought, you don't think about it. So you're writing, but it's some of the stuff you don't even know you're going to say, and you get the answers through it because you don't even know what you're going to say next. And then it's like, if you sat and be quiet in a room, and like, there, if you're like hard pressed, you're like, God, please give me the answer, and you just sat there, at some point you would hear your voice in your head telling you something, but it would be actually God telling you something. Like, that's God telling you something. So it's like, when you're doing the morning pages and you're not thinking, you're just blah, 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 all of a sudden God tells you something.
Well, because as I'm reading about Saucha, it says, you know, we all have this energy that lives inside of us, you know, like an awakening or a consciousness. So when we're writing without thinking, it's like we're literally just writing whatever comes to us. And in order to like live with this energy and live in this awakened state, we have to cleanse ourselves both physically and mentally, because it prepares us to live in this awakened state, you know, in the state of where we are conscious to things, as opposed to living as opposed to just living and having life hit us however it wants, you know. So in order to be awakened, we need to purify ourselves, you know. We need to like not live heavy, you know, so that we can have clear thoughts and make clear decisions and you know, live a clear life, live a very pure, like a pure, clear, awakened life, you know.
I think that what you said was so important too, because a conscious living, right? You're conscious of the things that you're doing. You're not just going off of emotion or but that kind of conscious, that awareness or consciousness.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You're not like, you know, you're not doing things that you have no control of. And if you are, then you can go, whoa, I just did something. I had no control over that. Like if you're like, I want to eat a cookie, but I know that I ate too many cookies already. Then you have that going on and on your mind. I want to eat that cookie. You're like, but I'm not going to do it. And then like 20 minutes later, commercial comes on, you go and you get the cookie. You didn't even realize it. And you're like, told myself I wasn't going to eat that cookie.
Right.
You know,
so right. And then you go through all these like feelings of guilt and shame and stuff like that.
But if you ate that cookie on purpose, then you wouldn't have that, right?
But that is so true. Like if you make the conscious choice to say, I don't care, I'm gonna eat the cookie. Like you don't, you know, then great, wonderful, go for the cookie. But it's like you said, if you're gonna sit there and like, you know, try and go into the like this hole of, you know, unconsciously eating the cookie, then yeah, of course you're going to feel bad about it. You know, that's why it's so it is beautiful to be able to live a more conscious, awakened life. You know, so many people are searching for this awakening and they think it's supposed to be like this big grand light, you know, beaming down on you situation. And it's like, no, I mean, you might have one of those grand moments, you know, like, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but I know when I've had like to make big decisions in my life, and I know that if I overthink it, I'm not going to come to the decision that I really want. But if I sit quietly and like ask God for, you know, to help me out and just really sit quietly with myself and like declutter all the other thoughts and all the other people's opinions and thoughts of what they think I should be doing, then I come to a more awakened part of myself. Because, you know, we all have the answers inside of us. We just clutter them with other people's opinions, thoughts, what we think we should be doing instead of what, you know, all that stuff. So
we let that be a part of our narrative because I don't know why.
Yes.
I don't know why. But you know, I don't know why we can't.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, why can't we be born and just go like, oh, that person said that, instead of like, that person knows who I am, so what they said is true. You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of us going, right.
Well, because I think we live, you know, we live through our egos as opposed to living this awakened state that we talk about, as opposed to, you know, just listening to ourselves, you know. So
you're going in and out. You're going in and out a little bit, by the way. I don't know if we put the other one, the other headphone on. It might be sounding better. Okay. I'm sorry. No. Because you said, as opposed to, we live through our own ego as opposed to something, and I didn't get that.
Living in an awakened state, you know, by our natural state. Our awakened state is really our natural state. It's not, it's not something that outside of us, like we don't go and find this awakening and put it inside of us. It's actually there. This energy that we talk about, we just have to awaken it. It's dormant. Because of the fact that we are full of clutter and full of, you know, other people's things and even our own things, even our own, you know, narratives, like you said.
Yeah. And then just to even go back on what I said, I always start to think like the reason why we do certain things is as a protection mode, because we are animals and we have to survive in as humans with each other in order to survive.
Yes.
So that's probably another thing too, like the tribal like we start to change who we are because of our, you know, tribe, which is like our family that we grew up in. So we try to like, we question who we are based on our tribe. And I guess when we go out of the world and we leave our tribe, then that's when we start to question things like, you know, religion or, you know, any kind of like self-reflection. So it's actually like, I think we make it so dramatic, but, you know, like, I know probably I have made things a lot dramatic in the world, but that's basically the process of breaking through and letting your spirit just break out of you is just shedding who you're not really, and also accepting that you're different or you're separate from your family, even though you are still a part of that perspective, that tribe, you know?
Yes. Right. Right. But making, but becoming, coming into your own, you know, and just like, and getting back to how do we get to this? How do we get this purification? It says, you know, breath practices, postures, so our meditating and following what we talked about, the yamas, which are the restraints. And now we're talking about the niyam, is like following that ethical, these ethical paths.
Will and bring also you- like the cleansing, like as far as a yoga standpoint, well, this is all kind of yoga with this right now, what we're talking about. Neti, nasal.
The neti pot,
The neti pot. There's also some other things that I don't think I would ever have.
Oh my God, I've read them. They're so weird. Okay, can we just talk about it? We have to talk about it.
But
it says running string through the nasal passages and out the mouth, or running 32 yards of cotton strip through the digestive system. No.
Yeah, that's just.
I mean, like you said, it's not an offense to anybody, but it's like, I'm good with the neti pot. I like the neti pot. I'll do the neti pot, you know?
It's to me, like, for. I think that if my life was just 100%, you know, yoga and just living that lifestyle, and I was like, I really want to become enlightened and, you know, just, I don't know what, you know, after what comes after that, but then maybe I'd be like, okay, you know, that is kind of religious, honestly, if you start to, if you're really getting very deep into it and you do those practices and stuff like that. Like, but like, that's the thing with life. It's like, you have to decide what you want to keep and what you want to get rid of, right? Like, nah, I'm not going to, I'm not going to do, I'm not going to stick a string in my nose and pull it out of my mouth. Yeah. Not for me, but next.
That is the beauty though. That's the beauty. The beauty is we get to choose, like we have free will to choose all those things. And then another way I read was, like just forgiving and confessing, which is what you kind of were talking about before, like being able to get things off of your chest, or confessing to a friend or whoever, you know, or you know how you're feeling, because that gets it out of you. But forgiveness, I think, is a big one too, because that's definitely clutters your energy so much, because it honestly takes so much more energy to be mad at somebody and to hold on to that grudge than it does to just forgive and move on, you know. And like, and I learned that a very long time ago, but I used to be a grudge holder. I used to definitely hold grudges and hold on to things, and it like, it almost made me feel like I was fighting in this war, and it's like, but nobody was even fighting it with me. It was just literally me, but I wasn't even feeling good about it, you know. It wasn't even like, you know, it wasn't until I just forgave others and even myself that I really started to feel, you feel light about yourself. You feel like very like, oh man, that's good. You know, like, okay, moving on.
You know, forgiveness, so. I will say, I don't know. I've done some really good forgiving in my life, you know, and not that I'm saying that people should be bowing to me and getting my forgiveness.
Right.
But like, there's certain people that, you know, it just doesn't work easily, and you have to like kind of let go and forgive them for not like understanding, or just forgive and accept, you know, that that you're never gonna come to terms on something, you know, or but you know, but in some aspects, it does get really hard to forgive certain people, especially when they cross the line with my daughter. Anything that has to do with my daughter, if you cross the line, I'm like, yes. Yeah. No, I'm Mama Bear.
Mama Bear comes out. I hear you.
That's a hard one.
Yeah. It's so true. Yeah. That is a hard one. Yeah. That is a hard one.
But I will say that it is definitely something that I know I have to do. I know that I do have to forgive someone specifically in order for me to not be irritated by that. I'm not as irritated as I was, but I feel like, and you know who I'm talking about, mm-hmm. probably, right?
Yeah.
And I have to kind of like forgive, but I also, I'm not ready to forgive yet. However, I know from people that I've met that have lost people in their life to like, and then they have to forgive. And you hear it on TV too. You hear that somebody, the person that took my child's life, I have to forgive them. It seems like extremely important to forgive people, because it seems like for your own health, you have to forgive people.
Because you really are, when you are not in a state to forgive, you're literally just damaging yourself. Like it's your whole, there's a saying, forgiving someone has more to do with you than it does with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, and that's so true, because the minute you forgive, it's like, you're letting something go in you, because not forgiving, you're holding on to this thought of these people. And I think the biggest way that I've learned to forgive is to know that we're all on different journeys. We're all completely on different paths. Sometimes mm-hmm. I don't forgive someone for the way they think, or for the way they live life, or for the way they, or the way they treated me, only to then say to myself, oh, wait a minute, you know what? That's where they are now. I forgive them for it then. I'm just like, you know, like we're all on different paths. You know, I'm sure I've needed to be forgiven from other people for the choices that I've made that have affected them. But a big one would be, like you said, like those parents that have had to like forgive someone who's done something terrible to their child. Like, I don't ever want to be in that position. So I can't even imagine that, but
And you know, it's funny that they have to do that. That's one of the first things that you hear out of them is like, we have to forgive this person. Yeah. Like we forgive them. Because without that forgiveness, it's really hard for them to move on with their life. So you need
There's no closure, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because you're still holding on to that. Mm-hmm. Because again, like, forgiveness has more to do with you than it does with the other person.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely another way to come to purity and Saucha. Mm-hmm. What else? Oh, so this was an interesting one, because I really like this. It says Saucha also has a relational quality. So it's asking us to seek purity with each moment by allowing it to be as it is. So I know that we all have a tendency to want to like control moments or control mm-hmm. outcomes. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about this often, but like, even if you're in a bad moment or you're in a bored moment, just take it for what it is. But it's hard, right? It's hard mm-hmm. to just be like, I'm staring at my little laundry right now and I'm like, okay. Like, I'm already thinking that I gotta get it done and I gotta do this and I gotta do that. And it's just like, okay, just, it is what it is. Like, just take the moment for what it is, because mm-hmm. we literally are not guaranteed what the next moment might be, you know? True. So, but it's
finding that way to get yourself motivated to do something that you really don't want to do is probably important. You know, like, you have to like look for that inspiration, you know, like even with cleaning. And so not to trash my husband, he's very busy, and you know, so I mean, he's the main provider and he's very busy, and he was trying like running his own stuff and he's running his work stuff, so, but you know, he still is my husband, so I find reasons to get annoyed with him, which that's another part of cleansing. I'm trying to do is to cleanse my thoughts so that I don't get annoyed with my husband when I know that he's right. doing as much as he can possibly do. So, I mean, I'm jumping off of what I actually meant to even say, what, you know, jumping off ship of that, but so anyway, there was this pile of his stuff and he said he was going to do it, but he did it once and then it got piled up again. And then I said, and it took too long for him to do it the first time. But then I said, I looked at that pile yesterday and instead of saying he's supposed to do that, I said, well, I'm just going to do this, you know, and I'm going to make it what I want it to be. And, you know, I had to kind of motivate myself, just kind of like tell myself that I'm strong and that I could do it, you know, and get rid of the frustration of how I felt about it even being there, get rid of like the negative thoughts and change it to like some superwoman stuff. And then I got it done and I felt so much better, like so much more content. Because, and that's like an important part of thinking, like the thoughts that, you know, keeping your thoughts pure. It's so easy to get aggravated, to get frustrated. And just because you get in that place in the one instant doesn't mean that you're not, you know, working on not getting to that place, but sometimes it happens. Sometimes you stub your toe and then you want to, this sounds so violent, but like punch the wall afterwards because you're mad that you stubbed your toe or whatever. And then, you know, like sometimes I guess I'm kind of, whenever it comes to like hurting myself, like when I was a little kid, I used to just have this weird reaction. I remember I was running to a bus and I cut my knee and then I was just banging on the side of my knee. Cause I was like, I'm so annoyed that this happened. It's a weird reaction. So now I just stand there like, and just breathe
it out. And just be like, okay, I'm in this moment right now. This is what's happening. What am I even getting angry about? But you know, it's when we aren't taking the moment for whatever it is. And we're trying to, especially if it's an uncomfortable moment, we're trying to then manipulate it, which is also like not pure, you know, manipulation, lying, you know.
So you think I should scream the F word?
I mean, I think that if that's what's consciously coming out of you, then yeah, I mean, that's a real raw reaction to something hurting you. Like, you know, I mean, I would find it weird if you stubbed your toe and be like, it's okay. You know, like that's not a real reaction. A real reaction is, shit, this hurts. Oh my God.
Is my husband gets like, what happened, and then I want to punch him in the head.
You know, like, all right, well, you see, then that's an unconscious thought. People. That's like that's an unconscious thought, but
I want to be like, I'm fine, I just, you know, kick my foot, leave me alone and let me just deal with it, you know, like, and then I lash out at him, so that's why I'm just like, breathe, you know. But like, I will tell you, when I was running, so basically I was a massage therapist in Chicago and I left my work because I didn't have I was picking up a late massage for somebody. So left my work, went and had some dinner with my family. And then I was sitting in the back seat. My daughter was in the front and jumped out of the car and tripped right on the curb, and there was this old man passing by. I had no idea. I shouted in front of like people that were eating dinner and everything the F word really loud, and my daughter is there, and I was like, oh my God, I was like so embarrassed. I mean, I was gushing blood right before I had to do a massage,
but I mean, that's a real reaction, you know, like that's just, I don't think we're thinking, oh gosh, darn it. You know, we're not thinking that, you know, when something, it's just our minds go straight to, but I say our minds, like you and I can speak for you because that's just the way we are. I'm sure there might be other people who bang their knee and really we're like, oh goodness. Okay. All right. You know, like they can go through that, but I am not awakened enough yet to not curse when I stub my toe. You know?
I think that what you're saying for me, what I'm getting out of what you're saying is that in order to cleanse the mind, we have to be okay with what our thoughts and thoughts yes. are, or our experiences are, and just have that awareness of it. Because number one, if we go step by step here, first, awareness of your mind and your thoughts, accepting it. And then once you do that, you're not fighting with those thoughts. You're not fighting yes. with the way you think that you should be thinking. And then naturally on its own, like, you make room for change, which could be
yes.
that things don't bother you as much even, or you have a different right. reaction right. to something. And well, one of the things, the next niyamas that we're talking about has a lot to do with kind of changing your thoughts to positive thoughts. Mm-hmm. So, which might
right.
like
right.
contradict what you might think, Lori. I don't know, you know, just wondering, you know.
Yeah. No, I think that,
not that this is
I
law.
Think that the number one, no, but I think the number one thing to, number one reason why we can suffer from anxiety at times is because mm-hmm. we have these incessant thoughts, right? And we think that if we push those thoughts away and we're like, okay, I'm just going to stop thinking about it, we actually think about it more. Mm-hmm. Instead, if we just accept the thought for what it is, which is, it is just the thought, we actually wind up not thinking about it anymore, or think about it less, you know. Yeah. Like over here it says, in order to be pure with something, we are asked to do a lot of subtraction. So it says, subtract our ideals, illusions, and expectations of what it should mm-hmm. be and how we want it to be. So like, take the manipulation out of it, take the control out of it, take out of everything, out of what we think any situation is, because whatever situation we're in, it's as pure as it's going to be. That's it. Mm-hmm. So if we try to manipulate it.
Mm-hmm. Can you repeat those three things again?
We want to subtract our ideals, illusions, and expectations of what it should be and how we want it to be, you know? So if we take all that away of how we want things to be, or how we think it should be, or our shoulds, mm-hmm. then I know that we'll just, it's a pure moment. It is what it is, you know, like death. Okay. Like, we can't control death, you mm-hmm. know, but what do? When somebody dies, we mourn them. We yeah. mourn them right there. We don't, you know,
but we might try to control actually how much we yes. allow ourselves to mourn, like, or be yes. free, or mm-hmm. to accept, because, but you know, like you said, like, some yeah, people don't actually,
you know, we go through all these things, like, you know, we ask ourselves, but why did this person pass? Or we go through, like you said, like, we say, okay, I've cried enough. I've cried enough. Like, I've already cried 3 weeks. I'm good. You know, like, just take the moment for whatever it is and just listen to yourself, you mm-hmm. know? And I think that, you know, live a pure life outside of you and inside of you, you know, mm-hmm. but it's easier said than done. And I've said that a million times, because it really is, like, all these yamas and niyamas are definitely easier said than done, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Being pure is like being honest with yourself, right? Being as much yeah. honest as you can with other people. Being cleansed or clean, you know, that can go with different kind of aspects, like just kind of having observing your thoughts and actually trying to eliminate things that create chaos of the mind and chaos mm-hmm. in your life, you know, like
right
you know, maybe the chaos is, you know, that you need to clean, and it's bothering you that it's not clean. Maybe the practice of cleaning your place, as opposed to like the fact that it's clean is the thing, you know. So maybe the fact that it's clean is not really the problem, but the thing is that you added that in as to one of the problems in your life. And then actually, when you finish resolving whatever that is, you can actually start right. to allow yourself to notice what the real problem is, or if there's any mm-hmm. kind of like frustration in your life, you know.
Yeah.
And also,
I think,
yeah.
Yeah.
No, go.
No, go on. I was just going to say, I think Sasha also just asks us to like, just be flexible. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think so many of us are inflexible in the sense of like, we're always just constantly planning and wanting things to turn out a certain way. And I think if we're more flexible to whatever happens to us, and we accept, like, you know, we accept whatever we get, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying like, we'll just take the bottom of the pot of things, but I'm saying like, whatever comes at you, are you able to accept it or not accept it? You know, I think it's just, it's easy, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's hard to be flexible.
Well, I think that's a really important point, because honestly, you know, just thinking about, like you said, just accepting what's there. When you don't accept what's there, you actually cause congestion in your mind and in your physical body. Your muscles start to tighten when you can't accept what's there. And that causes, that causes like tightening in the body. So the blood can't flow freely. And, you know, even not accepting things in the mind, remember that the mind does affect the physical body, so it can also cause pain. When you're congested in areas, you're actually feeling pain, like,
yes,
like a tight muscle is actually like needs to be relaxed, you know, it's congesting the area, so the blood can't flow freely. So, but also go ahead. I don't know why I said also.
No, I mean, I think Purity is also asking us to like slow down and not do 500 things at once. You know, mm-hmm. I find that within myself, I am better if I just sit in the one, whatever it is. Like right now, I'm doing the podcast, right? So mm-hmm. That's it. It's just me and you sitting here. Like, I don't want to have to be thinking about, you know, not even thinking about, but like doing something else in the meanwhile, you know, like, let's say for instance, I was completely unprepared for this podcast. Mm-hmm. And as we're like recording, I'm like looking up things, like that's not me being really pure to the moment. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or like I've done before, taking a phone call, you know, like just whatever it is you're doing, slow down enough that you just stay with that moment. That's that too brings a lightness to your life. And that too brings, you know,
being present, right? And just not worrying about what could go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? Or multitasking in general, just like thinking that you could do 500 things at once, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a big fan of multitasking. My husband's the complete opposite. He loves multitasking. For me, I just have to constantly remind him, you know, if I'm sending a text to somebody, I can't send a text and talk to you at the same time. So if you see me texting somebody, and then you're talking to me, I don't hear what you're saying. You're going to have to wait till I'm done. And then also, if you do interrupt me, I will lose my train of thought. That's just how I am. So I have to focus on one thing at a time.
Perfect.
Like even when I talk to I don't know if that's perfect. Even when I talk to my mother on the phone, I'll be like, well, mom, I have to go because I have things that I have to do. And the fact is some people can talk on the phone and do the things that they have to do. I cannot.
Which is fine because you're giving your mom full attention.
Yeah.
You're giving the conversation full attention. Like if you're on the phone and, you know, you're doing 500 things, you know, cleaning, picking things up, whatever, like, and somebody says something to you, you're like, wait, you know, like, what, I just missed something, you know? And then you feel bad that you even like have to have the person repeat themselves, you know, like you're purely in the moment for what it is. I think that's perfect. I think that's what you should be doing.
But you know, it's definitely hard when you're living in a multitasking world, you know, that you're sitting there and you're, you know, it's easy for me to say and accept I can only do one thing at a time, but it's not easy for everybody. I think when you're a mom, especially like that first year of life, especially, and probably the next three after that, or maybe the next four, until your kid is like can just do things by themselves, like sit there and entertain themselves, you're on 24/7. So you're
yeah,
doing whatever you need to do. And that ear is always out for your kid, yeah. Right? At the same time, yeah. we're definitely programmed to be able to do that. We're definitely, as when you become yeah. a mom, you're definitely programmed to be able to split yourself into responsibility yeah. and also the attention that you're going to give your kid. But I wouldn't go for right, I wouldn't go for a third thing though, honestly.
No, because that's the thing though, like becoming the new mom, we think we have to live up to this ideal sometime, right? Of like, I got to be the perfect mom. I got to make sure that she's got everything that she needs. I've got everything that I need. The house has everything that it needs. I got to do, you know, like we like build this, like, I remember people used to come visit and I would be like, come visit baby now. Oh my God, I got to clean this house. And it's like, they were not expecting my, you know, like stuff to be away. Like I was a new mom, like give full yeah. attention to your child. But it's so hard when it's, you know, when you're a new mom and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I definitely yeah. had a hard time you know, like I know you have to, you be able, like contradicting what I just said, but I definitely felt like I wanted to give her 100% attention
yeah
all the time, to the point where my husband would be like, Christina, you know, you don't have to play with her all the time, like, but I want to be here, I want to soak in every single moment with right. her. And you know, to the point where it, like, that's why I quit acting, because I was like, this is all I want to do right now, is just really yeah. be here for her. I don't know why, like, what the, like, I know plenty of women can act and take care of their kid, but this is like something that I felt like I wanted to do, because I just wanted right. to be there constantly.
Yeah. Which is fine, which is what you, like I said before, which is what you should be doing. You were living in that very pure moment and you're yeah. being pure about it. You know, you were giving your daughter 100% of your time.
Yeah. But I only have one kid, so it's a different story, right?
This is true.
You have more than
this
one kid. This is
very true. Yeah. Yeah.
You're really splitting your time.
I read in the book, it says the man's name is Krishnamurti. And he wrote something that says, purity asks us, asks that we make full and honest contact with the moment, so there's nothing lost and no regrets. There's no residue.
Mm.
So it's like, oh, yeah. stay, you know, like, I know I've left even fun moments, like not even being fully engaged and regretting that I didn't take more time, you know what I mean? With that person yeah. or with the moment, because it's just like my thoughts were on something else, or, you know, like whatever it might be, you know? So,
yeah,
just make full contact with life. Yeah. Literally. I think that's what it's asking you to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm covering my mouth because you know who I am. When you say something that sparks like excitement in me, that I'm just like, blah, 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 you know, I want to talk right over it. Yeah. But I think that's so important. What you just said, making full mm-hmm. contact with life. And yeah. that there was, I think that for me, that was a learning process and a journey. And what I realized is all I want to do in life is actually, like you said, make full contact with life, be present at every mm-hmm. single moment. And right. I will tell you, when you are present, even if you're cleaning, even if you're, you know, eating food and that's all you're doing, sipping some tea, that's all you're doing, having a conversation, playing with your child, like
yeah,
if you're really present in there, it is so fulfilling. You're living life, you know, it's really fulfilling. Like, just allow that to happen, right?
Like, it's so true. Keep
getting rid of the interruptions.
Yes.
And then just allot yourself yeah. that time to really just be present in whatever you're yeah. doing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and by doing all those things that you just said, you will feel you'll have clearer thoughts, pure thoughts. And you'll just feel lighter, and this is one of the observances, is to feel and be pure. You know, you'll be able mm-hmm. to make conscious choices, decisions, and live more consciously. Like we said before, you know, eating and enjoying that fruit, you know, having a coffee with a friend and really being in that conversation, you know, like that is the joy of life. And it does bring so much fulfillment when you're literally in that very moment, 100%.
Yeah, you know? Being your authentic self, right?
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah.
So just like quickly, I love where we just left it, but I did want to just kind of go over some things that people can do in their life, or just something, you know, might strike an interest in them so that they can integrate it into their life and see what happens. It's just kind of basic stuff. You know, it's so funny because I just told my husband, because he's going to the store to get groceries right now, I said, babe, do me a favor and get organic apples. And he's made a face. Why? And I was like, because there's a reason for pesticides. You know, I understand that, you know, like there's a reason for mass production and stuff like that. And my husband, like, while he doesn't like to waste things, he also sees the goodness in being able to feed everybody in the whole entire world. Right. But I did say to him, can you get, you know, we don't get like a lot of organic stuff. And I kind of wish we did, although I did get a thing of organic strawberries once and they had nothing but bugs all over them the next day. I was like, oh my God, where's the pesticides? No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
No, but I said, can you get apples? Because our apples actually hold the most pesticides. So then, I was reading about it through this, you know, Saucha Niyama, is that because they hold the most pesticides, and when you're eating an apple, you're not really, your body really has to work to get the nutrients that you need from it, because it has to purify itself first, has to get rid of all the pesticides first. Oh, and I'm not saying like go out and get all organic food, because that's quite expensive, but maybe just apples. But I thought that was interesting.
I mean, there's like a list, I don't know if it's like 6 to 9 fruits and vegetables that should always be organic, and then others that don't have to be, because the skin, like you're not eating the skin on the outside of it. Like I think oranges, bananas, like those don't have to be, because you're not eating that skin.
But the skin on an apple is like one of the,
absolutely, which is what you want to be eating, because that's where the, you know, the nutrients are on the skin of the apple besides the inside. But yeah. No, that I totally agree.
You know, and toxins do affect your mind too, you know, so.
Yes. I mean, we can do a whole podcast on that because there's a, what is it, like metals in the body? Like I remember a few years ago, they asked dentists to stop using like the metal filling and instead to use the porcelain because metals were like, I knew a friend who did like a metal detox. Oh, I have them too. Yeah. We did like a metal, a metal detox, because metal definitely, you know, it's definitely not good for the body.
All right. I'm getting a pair of pliers. I think I have one cavity, which was so great for years. But then when I started to drink soda, like water, when I was waiting tables, I got that cavity in. I was like drinking soda constantly. The worst thing that happened was that I got a cavity, which pretty much sucked. Because you don't want to have a cavity after the fact that you haven't had cavities ever.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, basically, you know, I love apples, and I feel like apples are a really good way to cleanse your body, you know, going to the bathroom, you know, like eating fibers and like apples are one of my things, honestly, that helped me go to the bathroom. So
that's good.
But like,
no, but they're like one of the fruits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
From somebody, and this is going to sound gross, sorry, cover your ears. It's happening in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I get constipated and I need to eat more fibers. I need to eat things that help me cleanse my body.
Like leafy greens and all that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I'm holding on to stuff, it actually, I don't feel good. I don't feel.
Of course.
It holds me back.
You can't think clearly. Yeah. It's because you're physically feeling heavy. And then like the mind, body, spirit has so much to do with our physical selves as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why, like you mentioned at the beginning, like yeah, you need to physically be like cleanse yourself as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because so eating anything that, yeah.
Yeah.
More. God, I keep interrupting you.
No. Eating things that are pure, eating things that are not filled with pesticides, you're not putting those toxins into your body. I completely understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, because so it does have an effect.
To think about it. It's important to not just mm-hmm. think about, well, I'm doing all the other stuff. What's going wrong? Well, there's also a food aspect of it. There's also, you know,
like too much sugar and too much carbs, like all that stuff. Like that's,
people think that just working out is going to be the do the trick, but it's not, you know, you have to eat in a way that helps your body. And then, you know, take those days where you say, I'm not going to punish myself. I want to have a cookie today, but you know, everything in a balance,
moderation.
Mm-hmm. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
So like just like a quick, like rundown of what I just want to say was, you know, eating in a way that helps you eliminate properly, having pure thoughts or not pure thoughts, but like trying to, like Laurie said, be present, but also trying to notice, like if your thoughts are very negative, that maybe you can, you know, try to take it from a different perspective and go, you know what, maybe I'm just creating my own, you know, drama, whatever you mm-hmm, want to call it. Mm-hmm. You know, creating those areas in the house, not thinking of it as cleaning, but thinking of it as creating mantles for yourself, like sacred spaces in your house, you know, really, you know, helps. Like I would even take everything off of a table that's cluttered, put it in a bag, and then redecorate it, and then just put everything in on that table or whatever it is, a mantle that you want to be there, and then go sort through the bag and see, do I need all of this? Can I find another space for it? Or should I just throw it out? You know?
Yeah.
So just creating it for yourself can be very helpful.
Absolutely.
But then also again, you know, not judging yourself, not beating yourself up.
Yeah. Declutter those thoughts, you know, definitely declutter those thoughts.
So I guess we're going to say that's my takeaway.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going on. No, I agree with all your takeaways. I agree with all your takeaways. And my biggest takeaway is definitely to accept the moment for whatever it is. Stay mm-hmm. in the moment, even if it's the moment is only temporary. Mm-hmm. That's my takeaway.
I mean, that's the truth right there. Like everything lies into that, just like accepting and being present and being not punishing yourself. Like being mm-hmm. positive also kind of just means not adding negativity. So it doesn't mean that being positive means you have to fake how you're feeling, but you have to try not to create,
add to it,
add to it, create something like negative, like why
because you are yes but it's true, like when you're in the uncomfortable situation, don't try to run away from it, just be with it. Mm-hmm. Just be with it, you know. There's got to be something that comes of it, and if not, it only makes you stronger, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's, you know.
All right.
So yeah.
Cool beans. Well, I think this might be a longer podcast than the others. I'm not sure.
but we covered a lot and I liked it. And I'm excited to learn about the other four niyamas.
Yeah. So next week is sattva. Right?
Or santosha.
Or that I was don't know. Oh, santosha.
Is this santosha?
No, I have sattva here. Let me see. Oh Lord.
Oh, svadhyaya. Self-study. Do you have self-study on here? What do you have?
Ooh, no, we're all over the place here. Let me see something. I'm gonna go straight to where I have written down. Of course, I have all these things open up. Oh shoot, what the heck? What am I even? You know what? It's so funny. I'm because sattva is not a yama, I guess. I mean,
yeah,
I'm,
no,
I'm
what Niyama. Were you saying?
I was saying Sattva, no. Which actually means light, but I guess that's just the next thing that they're talking about inside of my book here, which
yes,
I really want to read. I just, like I said, you know, I was reading and I was a little bit behind in this topic because I was cleaning a lot, but yes, yeah, Santosha, contentment. So mm-hmm. easy to achieve that one, but you know,
oh yeah, so
I love Santosha, like contentment, because I think that, which is the next week Niyama, but I think people think that they have to be either happy or mad, that there's, they don't, you know, it's either I'm happy or I'm mad. If I'm mad, I want to get to happiness.
Yes.
But if I'm happy, that's where I'm supposed to be. And that's actually yeah. not true, because contentment is where you're supposed to be, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Contentment yeah. of just being satisfied with, you know,
whatever, just being content,
which is actually yeah. true joy. Being content is true joy,
which is what yeah, right, you're absolutely right, because people are always seeking happiness when they should actually be seeking joy, because yeah. happiness is just not temporary, but it's not what you're trying to reach. Joy is like a feeling that lasts and stays yeah. and is a state of mind. It's a state of being, as opposed
or like
to
like contentment, you mean, right?
Yes. Right. Right. Yeah. 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 So yeah. Yeah, good. So, I'm excited.
Yeah. When you're content, you don't need more and you don't need less. You're mm-hmm. content. Right. And wouldn't yeah, that be a wonderful place to be in? Yeah.
I know. Yeah. Cool.
All right. Sugar
well,
pie.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in.
We'll hopefully hear from you next week or you know,
send us an email to see if there's any kind of questions that you would like us to talk about, any kind of like fun advice that you want us to give, maybe to you or to a friend that you care about, and or just even a question that's just
yeah
random question.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Perfect. All right, so, Chris.
See you next
week.
Good
talking to you.
Good talking to you too.
All right. Bye.